This is the Fantasy Focus Baseball Podcast. Here are your hosts, Tristan Cockcroft and Eric Carabel.
Hi there, welcome to Fantasy Focus Baseball. It's a beautiful Thursday morning, June 22nd, 2017. I'm Eric, he's Tristan. Also here, as always, is Kyle the Monster. And producing today, Mike Rabier. And it's a Thursday, that means a comprehensive weekend preview. We target the pitchers and hitters that you need to know about. You have something you want to say there?
Yeah, but wait. Always? The monster is always here?
I want
the evidence.
There yesterday.
Is he here from the start?
Get-go. We're good.
Oh, you okay now? Can you fit it into your schedule today, Kyle?
Excellent.
Make sure.
Penciled it in. We had to move some things, but we got it under control.
I'm so pleased that, you know, you found the time for us today. Okay. We're going to talk briefly about Wednesday night, and then we're going to talk a lot about this weekend. Maybe hit on some closers here. Big series of the weekend, and I don't know what else. We'll see where the time takes us. Here is the buzz. All right, so the big stories in baseball from Wednesday, somebody bunted to break up a perfect game, and somebody showboated after a home run, but I don't care about either of those in fantasy, really. Although I'll say this, it's possible that Yasiel Puig is better than we think.
No, fantasy. Who are you?
Well, I mean, the overall numbers for fantasy are a lot better than the numbers in real life.
I missed one show on Monday, and who's this guy I'm talking to? This isn't Eric.
Well, he's let's put it this way. He's got 3 homers this week and 4 walks and 4 strikeouts. If Yasiel Puig is going to show that type of plate discipline, that changes things a little bit.
Sure.
Right? His OPS at the beginning of the week was not 773. It was like 50 points lower. Now, he's still on pace. He's on pace now for like 27 home runs and like 20 steals. That's a major fantasy season.
Yeah. The 20 steals, though, I mean, I think just about everybody's on pace for 27 home runs. But those steals are nice. Those walks are nice. The contact rate is nice.
Yeah, no, he looks better. I agree.
He still drives me crazy.
Oh, I think he drove the Mets crazy. I think he's driving lots of people crazy. But the thing is, like, this is an ever-changing sport. They play every day. I'm not saying Yasiel Puig is a top... He's not a top 10 fantasy outfielder, but where's the other play rate? He might actually be kind of close to that at this point with the power and the speed combination. Now, the batting average is still way too low. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I think when you watch him play, no, he's not top 10, and he's actually not even top. Where is he?
Outfielder,
yeah, but what
33.
Matters? He's where?
Outfielder 33.
So that's all batting average, and probably runs because he's been batting 8th. I mean, I could see Puig ending up in the top 20 outfielders, though.
You think it's batting average that's pushed him down there, or you're saying batting average is...
Well, he's batting .247, and he's not scoring a lot of runs, although recently he has been. In fact, like a third of his runs have come in the last 10 days, it looks like. So he's been better in June. He's batting .300, hitting for more power. He hasn't run much in June, but he's been better. I'm just saying the point here is, like, Puig is owned in, he's got to be owned in most leagues at this point. He's not actually, 67%, which is still a little low based on the home run stolen base combination. Now, I don't look at the player rater all that much because, to me, I want to own Puig in a league because anybody who's going to go 20-20, I want to own, okay? It was Ian Desmond all those years. His batting average might have been low, but that's 20 home runs and 20 steals you don't need to get elsewhere, right?
Yeah.
So, like, the player rater value doesn't do him justice.
Would it be terrible for me to say I'm not confident he gets to 20 stolen bases?
Oh, I don't think he will either. But
I think he can. I think he's certainly given himself an outstanding chance at it.
Absolutely.
But he's done it one time as a pro, and in the majors, he's never stolen more than 11 bases in a year. It's entirely possible he won't break his own career high in that category. I mean, that is the Yasiel Puig
story. Well, his career high in the majors is 11. I think he's going to break that. He's at 9.
I'll tell you that I would take the bet against the 11 more than I would for some of the other guys who don't think
he's going to steal 2 bases the rest of the season?
I do. I think all logic says that it's highly likely he's going to, but it's Yasiel Puig. I mean, this guy could put forth a month where he bats 160 with one home run.
I don't think I'm not buying. He is what he is, and that's great, but I don't think this is a buy low opportunity. I think it's more a sell high opportunity than a buy low, don't you?
Yeah. But But he might just be he's at the appropriate sale price. If, I mean, if he's outfielder 33, that's probably a little generous for my taste. 43?
Yeah.
I could see him being number 43.
Yeah, I think that's a little bit better. That's a little bit better. This ridiculousness about celebrating home runs and, you know, Wilmer Flores, you know, calling him out. Just stop already. Enough. Okay? This is who he is. All right? He's not showing you up. He's giving the game some personality. Let's embrace that. Okay? He didn't point at you. He didn't curse at you. He just hit a home run and was happy about it. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yasiel Puig, good for you.
I mean, we're going to get into the unwritten rules of the game.
This is the most annoying thing.
They're so overrated. They are.
Oh my God.
You know what? My take is on a home run like that. If you don't like it, don't give up the home run.
Right. And you know what? What the Padres manager did the other day by not retaliating against Anthony Rizzo, good for him. I can't believe that players are calling him out, or former players generally. That's not how the game is played. You got to hit the guy after he does something like that to you. He runs into your catcher. Shut up. Enough already with this. We don't want anybody to get hurt.
No. I just think it's a little overplayed.
It's all overplayed. The other thing was Jerod Dyson bunting to break up the perfect game. And once he did that, Justin Verlander wasn't the same. But for like six innings, Justin Verlander was awesome. So is he back? Is he a guy you trust again? Because he's been struggling most of the season. ERA and WHIP inflated. K-rate's been there all along. But from what you saw in that outing, would you call him, again, a safe top 20 starting pitcher?
Well, first, I'm not going to lie in saying that I watched every pitch that he threw in this one, so I don't know the nuance after the bunt hit, whether there was any sort of, like, reaction from him, or if I could have read the body language on each.
Yes,
each
there was body
pitch.
Language. He wasn't
but each
pleased.
One, did you see each one after? Like, did he have a general feel of...
I watched the inning, and he was cruising along. I watched a couple of the innings, and once the bunt happened, and then you get all this ridiculousness from the announcers and Twitter, and he's angry now. You know what? The guy's a bunter. That's what Jerod Dyson
well,
is.
Sure. But it's the
but after that, yeah, he was out of he was not his same self. So
is he the guy? Wasn't there like a Jared Weaver? Potential no-hitter. There was a game where Jared Weaver, I remember, was pitching it in Detroit, and there was an incident like this. But the difference between those two games is I believe that was the eighth or ninth inning. This is a sixth-inning bunt.
Oh, yeah.
That's his game. Speed is his game. He is playing his game. It's the sixth inning. You're not even – honestly, you're not even close.
This is all for the other podcast in baseball. This is not for our show.
I understand, but my take is if he threw great up to that point and he's going to allow himself to get distracted by it, then I will happily throw out the sixth inning and say this is a great comeback outing.
I agree. That's
my take.
I agree. I'm back in on Verlander. Other stuff from Wednesday. Let's go to the pitching first. Rich Hill, 0-for-9 in reaching the sixth inning of baseball games this year. 0-for-9. It's never happened before to start a season in Major League history, apparently.
Wow, that's a great stat. Okay.
Well, I was on Twitter. It was ESPN Stats and Info. I can't take credit. But the point is here, Rich Hill is not getting the job done. Now, in five outings this season, he's gone exactly five innings and given up one run. The potential is there for him to go on a streak and just go completely nuts and be great. Do you think that happens? Or do you think the blister happens and he's out for a month? I don't
know.
That's
the problem. I mean, like, he could give you one more start that was shortened by a blister and we don't see him again this year. The basement is...
And he's won four of the nine outings because his team's so good.
He also loves to do your little, Eric, your pattern you said yesterday, the 5-4, 5-4, 5-4, except
yeah,
for that
every
one
three-inning
game. Yeah. I actually do like, I've said, this guy's curveball is absolutely filthy. When it's on, when he has its command, it's one of the best in the game. And if that's going to be present, and it was somewhat in this game, then I would buy in that he's more positive fantasy value than a headache.
Jose Berríos, at what point does he end up on our top 20 starting pitchers? I mean, this is unbelievable what he's doing. It's every outing. He's not getting lit.
He's 7-1.
2.67 ERA, strikeout per inning. Every outing is a good one. It's a quality start now.
Well, not everyone was a quality start.
No, but he has a 2.67 ERA, an 0.91 WHIP, and it's 54 innings.
Right,
I've seen enough to think that this is legitimate, and he's going to finish the season, you know, an ERA around 3. So it'll get worse, but an ERA in the neighborhood of 3, he's not going to win 7 of 8 starts the next 2 months. I mean, that's hard to do on this team. But why isn't Jose Berríos a candidate for your top 20 starting pitchers? What do you need to see?
I really do need to see more evidence. It's 8 starts. I mean, that's a precariously small sample. And by the way, in those, There was a four-start stretch where he barely made it to two quality starts out of those four. So I don't want to, you know, hail this. I think top 20 is getting aggressive. If you would like to buy in on the ceiling for Jose Berríos, by all means, I agree that it is up there.
Okay.
I'd have a hard time arguing against his ability to finish with a 3 ERA, not miss an entire turn in the rotation the rest of the year. I'd have a hard time arguing against it. But aren't we getting a little ahead of ourselves?
We are, but I don't think – well, 8 starts, 15 starts, I mean, how many starts do we need? I he was a top prospect, Tristan. If last year hadn't happened, I think he would already be in as a top 20 starting pitcher. I really believe if he had not struggled to the degree he struggled in the major leagues last year, we would be looking at him at like Michael Fulmer. From last year. He'd be a top 20 starter.
Okay. Well, but Fulmer wasn't a top 20 starter last year.
For July, he was. He didn't have any runs.
Right, but July is a 5-start sample. And for some guys, it's a 4-start sample. So, I mean, like, that's half of this All sample right. that he's got so far. I think that, like, we're crowning him a stud here. And by the way, somebody did call us out on Twitter that we don't talk enough about Jose Berríos and how well he's doing. We have. I think we've said kudos to the guy, and he is a trustworthy and must-own fantasy player. And I don't use must very often, but top 20,
By the way, don't pay attention to Twitter. You have to pick Rich Hill or Jose Berríos the rest of the season.
Berríos.
Is Jeff Hoffman in that conversation, or no, after no. one bad outing?
The one bad outing isn't going to condemn him for me, but it reminds that Coors.
You know, for 3 innings yesterday, he was fine. And in the 4th inning, they scored 10 runs against him.
I don't. I mentioned Twitter twice, and I'm not meaning to do it. It doesn't matter what's commented here, but that's a method of feedback for people. And I remember having this very same discussion about another Rockies pitcher, Eric. You know exactly who he is from last year, who is a big breakthrough guy. And I remember reminding, it's still a Coors pitcher.
Yeah, but John Gray was good last year.
There were definitively times in John Gray's 2016 where he was not all that useful a fantasy option. He was outstanding for a Rockies pitcher, though. What, you don't think?
No, I think Jeff Hoffman's really good. And I think it's a shame to some degree he's got to start a course half the time.
Right.
But I don't want to just discard Jeff Hoffman because of one outing when his other outings were all good, including a couple at Coors. So,
and I fully agree, but the point is there's no way that I see you putting – a Coors pitcher, any of the current active guys in every one of their starts in
your
starting
line. Oh, no,
no chance.
No.
Including Gray last year.
Yeah, I was a little late to that party, and on Hoffman, I don't want to be late, but would I have started him yesterday, of course? No. Would I start him at home against the Padres, of course? Probably, yes.
Yes.
Moving to the hitting side, you don't need a Jiri Adrianza in your fantasy league. He stole 3 bases for the Twins yesterday, which is great. I can't believe anybody owned him, but it's not going to continue. The guy to own there is Eduardo Escobar batting like 500 in June with power and killing lefties.
Second in the order.
What's that?
Second in the order.
Yeah, I mean, well, it depends. I don't know what they're really doing there because Polanco is still their shortstop, I think. So, you know, and Dozier's still the second baseman. Yesterday, you know, neither of them played. So it's a weird situation. Tommy Pham hit 2 home runs. Do you put an asterisk against it because, you know, it was a Phillies relief pitcher? I don't, you know, it's just, he's hitting .286 with 9 homers and 6 steals. And again, nobody's really talking about Tommy Pham because they're all waiting for Randall Grichuk to come back from the minors and take his job. Well, I don't think that's going to happen. Tommy Pham's been good enough to keep this job.
I'd agree. I was in this exact situation and did actively cut Randall Grichuk to get Tommy Pham and felt pretty good about it. And I think that fantasy owners should follow that same thing. And it's granted in the larger leagues because I think there still is a little bit of matchups necessity with Pham. But I kind of like the guy. And I think he does deserve more credit than he's been getting.
Jose Bautista batted leadoff for Toronto, scored a couple, had a couple walks. They scored 6 first inning runs. You know, you shouldn't be using Tyson Ross anyway. But Bautista, does this alter his value positively for you?
The leadoff move, not that much, no.
All right. We have one combo meal, but wow, look who did it. Let's hear that.
Hey, it's a combo meal! Combo! Combo! It's a combo meal!
The rare situation where the actual sound of the combo meal dwarfs out the discussion of the player. It was Darren Barney. Congratulations to Darwin. Closers here. So can Max Scherzer pass Clayton Kershaw as the number one starter with that bullpen? Because there's no way Kershaw would have been allowed to go 8 innings in that situation.
or I like your thinking here. I
mean, I'm just saying, like, if yeah. Washington had a bullpen, Scherzer's out of that game, and they win 1-0.
Yeah.
Right?
It's true. Yeah, they're going to go to the eighth inning guy, and then they're going to go to Thomas Jansen.
And Dusty saves Matt Albers for the ninth, refuses to bring him in the eighth.
Do you blame him?
Man, well, I mean, Scherzer probably just wouldn't have given him the ball to come out of the game, but they lost the game. Now, it doesn't matter because they're going to win the division by 15 games, but it does matter. I mean, Scherzer, you know, if Scherzer wins 19 games instead of 20, maybe he doesn't win the Cy Young. Maybe they don't get home field in the first round, whoever they play, Dodgers, I don't know. It's just, you know, like, I'm watching Scherzer pitch, and I'm like, he needs to come out of this game. He doesn't have it anymore. They're going to score at least a run, and they scored two. Now, there was an error there, too, but whatever.
Honestly, about that one, I don't have a problem with it. I'm actually very happy that he completed this game. I'm in a league where I get extra points for the complete game. There were unearned
runs.
All
about you, isn't it?
I don't care. When it comes to judgment of players here and completing their games, I don't care about the win. I don't. When you're talking about Kershaw versus Scherzer, I don't care about the win.
I like the league. I have a points league in which the win doesn't matter. I have a 20-team league in which it's about the quality starts. And I have another league where I'm last in wins because of stuff that happened yesterday to Nick Pivetta. I have Pivetta in that league. And I don't know why I own a Phillies pitcher. I just don't know why. And you
yes,
know what?
I didn't even get...
Well, because I think Pivetta is going to be good, and I think he's proven in the last two outings he is good.
Yeah.
A lot of strikeouts, no walks. And you know, he gives up that homer. Once the game became 5-3, I'm like, oh, there's no way this bullpen's not allowing two runs.
To draw you back, I mean, you can't tell me you don't love that Scherzer completed this game, being in those situations, in those leagues.
I do. I would rather see that, but
I love it. I mean, I'm a Scherzer owner, three shares, and I loved it in every one of the three.
But like, then you get a situation like Boston, where Farrell ridiculously brings in a terrible relief pitcher to face a righty who hits a grand slam, and Craig Kimbrell's just sitting there twiddling his thumbs. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. All right, how soon before Jim Johnson loses his job? We probably should hear the sound for Closer Carousel right now.
The Closer Carousel.
Getting so excited. I knew I was going to, if I talked about the Phillies. They're going to lose 115 games, by the way.
Oh, man.
I want the first pick in football. I want the first pick in basketball. I don't want the first pick in a baseball draft.
Why? There's no new Bryce Harper coming?
Who loses their job first, Jim Johnson or Matt Bush?
I feel like it's Matt Bush.
Well, I feel like my blog entry today says exactly that. But I think Jim Johnson keeps his job, and then he gets traded to, like, the Yankees on July 31st or something like that.
And there's a good guy pitching behind Jim Johnson.
Arodas Vizcaíno's having a fine season.
Isn't he a little bit more exciting than the alternatives for the Rangers?
No. Keone Kalai would be a terrific closer right now. He's better than Matt Bush. He's better than Matt Bush. He is.
And that's fair, but you're not more excited about Vizcaíno than you are Kella.
No, because the Braves are going to win as much as the Phillies and the Padres and the Marlins in the final 2 months, and the Rangers, I think, are going to make a run at a wild card.
So you're chasing the saves, then.
Isn't that what closers are all about?
Yeah, but again, that's
Fernando Rodney's getting plenty of saves. You know, I mean,
we have a different philosophy on that.
Look, I don't want my closer to have an ERA of six, but, you know, Craig Kimbrell's saves are worth just as much as Brandon Kinsler's saves. And the degree of excitement about the strikeouts versus Kinsler's, obviously, big difference. ERA and whip, not as big a difference, but it's a difference. But you can win a league with Brandon Kinsler and Fernando Rodney as your closers. You really can.
You could.
You can definitely.
You could, but you know what? I can make you the legitimate argument that Keone Kella provides you more fantasy value the rest of the year than Fernando Rodney, and I'd feel pretty confident about it.
I definitely could see that because Rodney's going to give up a run at some point. He hasn't given up one since April. Caleb's going to get that job within 2 weeks, I think. But
right, and if the floor drops on either of these guys, I think it drops further for Rodney.
Well, I just don't see him losing the job. There's nobody to lose it to. Let's get into the weekend preview here. Biggest series I see, Rocks and Dodgers. That's going to be a lot of fun. Pitching matchups. What do we got here? So it looks like Kyle Freeland and Alex Wood on Friday. Not a Coors Field series. Alex Wood's really, really good. Do we still go by the Rockies on the road? You want to use pitchers against them theory? Because they still hit on the road. They just don't hit as well as they do at home.
They've been remarkably productive on the road. And in fact, I think it's at a historical rate. I'd have to go into things like the weighted on base, the runs per game. But I know win-loss-wise, they are performing much better in road games. That said, I love what the Dodgers have lined up to face them. I'm going to start Wood. I'm going to start Kershaw. They're obvious to me. I would even think about Brandon McCarthy in the Sunday game.
I mean, I just want to point out the Rockies are fifth in the majors in road runs scored. So they're not.
Yes.
This is not like your normal. Now, in OPS, they're 17th. What do you think that is?
That's not bad, though, because remember, previously they used to be worse than that.
You know, but like, well, how can... Doesn't that tell you that the OPS is the number to rush there and not the run scored?
I really hate to go to OPS. I usually go to weighted on base, but it's probably going to end up being the same thing. You're
it's
right.
Exactly 17th.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the point. Is like, mm-hmm. they're probably not going to continue scoring runs at this rate. But they're not exactly facing... They're facing Clayton Kershaw and Alex Wood the first two games of this series.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying I'm sitting Nolan Arenado here, but, you know, I'm using Wood and Kershaw here. Don't be scared to use them just because it's the Rockies and it's in Los Angeles. Now, Brandon McCarthy's a little bit different, but he's having a really good June.
I think this is actually going to be a pretty pitching-rich series. The only one I'm really not wild on is Kyle Freeland.
Do you start Tyler Chatwood at Kershaw?
Yes.
Yes, but, because I don't care about the win.
What do you mean you don't care about the win?
It
doesn't
matter
to me. For 4 years, you've been talking about not using pitchers against other aces because they can't win the game.
But that's a DFS angle. I mean, like, unless Tyler Chatwood costs practically nothing in a DFS context, then I wouldn't think about it because the win is worth a certain number of points. In my points leagues, if the win is worth 15 points, then it matters to me. But everywhere else, I don't care. He's going to probably give you a quality start.
All right.
Don't you think?
No, look, I've been arguing against you on this for years. I want good innings.
We've been on the same page about that for
years.
I
feel like you've always been saying don't use pitchers against Kershaw and Sale because they can't win the game.
In DFS.
Okay.
It's the only place, or in points leagues where you have a ridiculous point score on wins, which, by the way, please change your points league then.
What do you mean? Oh, I don't have wins in my
points. No, I'm talking to the listeners. If they have a league where you're getting 15 points for a win, you need to tell your commissioner to adjust that in the league settings for next year.
Any hitters in the Dodgers-Rocky series you're keeping an eye on? And again, we don't need to talk about guys that are owned in every league or no leagues, but like it's in between. Like between 25% and like 70% would be like what I would say. Like Chris Taylor is still available in 41% of ESPN standard leagues. Now, over the past 15 days, 220 batting average, 2 homers, 8 RBI, 4 steals. He's filling it up. Like, to me, Chris Taylor needs to be owned in more leagues. You can play him at middle infield. He's your fifth outfielder. I don't know what people need to see out of Chris Taylor at this point.
I'd agree with that. See, I can't really make any case for Rockies hitters here because when you see the two lefties, I'd think,
exactly.
Is there a right?
Well, Mark Reynolds is owned in a lot of leagues. But there's no way, like Tom Murphy, if he starts the two games, no.
The problem with Tom Murphy is that the K, you know, his strikeout-prone nature against Wood and Kershaw is just not a good mix. I think it's going to be mostly Dodgers in this game.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
The series.
No, I know what you're saying. All right, let's go day by day here and see what else we've got because, I mean, we could just say two teams, but it doesn't mean anything. Today, a lot of day games on Thursday, not a lot of night games. There's not a lot to recommend here. I do like Jaime Garcia, as does Kyle, against the Giants, because the Giants are just awful. It's one thing being a Phillies fan. I knew they could be bad. I thought the Giants would be good. It's got to be tougher for Giants and Mets fans this season, because those teams are just awful. I mean, the Mets aren't even competitive in these games at L.A.
I think the Mets fans might be a little happy tonight.
You think they're going to hit Hyunjin Ryu?
No, I think Mats is going to throw a decent game here.
Okay. I could see that. I said Mike Clevinger. It's a lot of strikeouts per inning, but it's also a very low BABIP. But
Orioles are so up and down.
They are so inconsistent. So not a whole lot here on Thursday. On Friday, it's an interesting day. The return of Felix Hernandez. It's against Houston. Excellent offense, maybe the best. I cannot start Felix Hernandez in almost any league, even an AL only. Could you? Yeah,
no chance.
I mean, I don't want to. I don't care what he looked like on his rehab assignment. I can't do it. Not against Houston.
I'd need to be personally witnessing each and every pitch thrown and saying, wow, I see something here that's not the Felix Hernandez of 2016 and 2017 so far. No, he's a no.
He's a no for me, too. What else do we got that's interesting? James
Perdomo versus Fulmer.
Hmm.
It's a little interesting there in Petco, don't you think? Both sides.
I guess. I mean, well, Fulmer you got to use. I mean, why would you not use Fulmer against the Padres? That's a great opportunity to use him.
Yeah. The little injury
can't make
setback.
Much of a case for Perdomo, though.
Make a case for Perdomo. Perdomo's been pretty useful this year, and I think going against
it's a very right-handed lineup.
Righty heavy, yeah.
They don't have Victor Martinez.
No DH.
Well, they didn't have Victor Martinez anyway, so, I mean...
It's a pitcher batting, then.
Yes, that is correct. What about Luis Castillo of the Reds? It's his first start. And again, it's against a tough team, Washington. And Strasburg. There's no way you can use him.
Hey, I'm avoiding the Reds pitching in this series.
What do you do with Tanaka against Texas at home?
I'm going to go no here because the Rangers do have some lefty boppers and in that park.
Can you make the case for Alex Meyer at Fenway for two reasons? One, Meyer's pitching well of late, getting strikeouts. And I think we know at this point that his opponent is going to give up some runs. In a 10-team league, yeah, I might move on from Porcello. In a deeper league, I wouldn't. I still think he's more buy low than sell. You can't sell. But, I mean, I think there's still something there. He's been unlucky. The BABIP's way too high. He's going to have a high BABIP because he gives up a lot of hits. But I wouldn't shy away from Alex Meyer in this case, would you?
I kind of would, but not to go and embrace Rick Porcello. I'm trying to, in my mind, formulate a pro-Porcello and anti-Meyer thing, and I just can't do it. You're right. I think Meyer clearly gets the nod. I try to avoid both pitchers. Just Porcello, the past three outings of Porcello scare the dickens out of me. That's what it comes down to.
You still have Dickens in you? I don't want to buy Porcello. If I'm going to add him as a free agent, I'd stick him on my bench. I wouldn't use him.
My mind is just trying to bait another debate here for, you know, veggie burgers with Kyle the Monster. So.
Yeah, what if you had to pick Eric Porcello chat with the rest of the way?
Ooh.
The problem there is the Coors Field outings. So I wouldn't want to leave either of them active.
More quality starts.
Probably Porcello.
Yeah, forward. Porcello gets those crap quality starts and doesn't nap.
Crap quality starts.
I'm going player rater. Rest of the way, I'll take Chatwood over Porcello.
All right. Well, I mean, see, that's not what you asked me, though. You asked me which one would I rather own in a standard fantasy league, and the problem is you'd have to bench Chatwood for the road outings, and Porcello, to me, still has upside.
You start him for the road, bench him for the home outing. Yeah, yeah.
Right, I know. That's the whole
point. You're picking and choosing, and I think it's pretty clear. I like the fact that the homework is easy with Tyler Chatwood.
Saturday, Homer Bailey. Is that his season debut?
Yes.
At Joe Ross, who you want to talk about an up-and-down starting pitcher.
Yeah.
I have no idea what Joe Ross is going to do from game to game. And it doesn't even matter who he's facing. He's had easy opponents and gotten lit. And then he strikes out, he had a 12 strikeout game or a 14? I mean,
yeah.
I have him in my Odd New Points League, and I don't know if I should use him ever. I just don't know.
Please, 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 please develop a changeup or cutter. It's all we ask.
He's one pitch away from being a top 30 starting pitcher.
Oh, he's got the command. He just needs a pitch to get the lefties out. Anything to slightly neutralize it.
Outing number four for Jacob Faria against Dylan Bundy. Who would you rather? You know what? Who would you rather have the rest of the year, Bundy or Faria? I think that's a reasonable question. I know it's only three outings.
You're going to draw me back to checking Faria's workload numbers compared to Bundy's.
Because I think he's going to have an innings limit.
Is it as severe as Bundy's? I'm worried that Bundy's is going to be.
He's got no innings
severe.
Limit. But the Orioles don't think about innings limits. First of all, Bundy is going to pitch until the arm literally falls off. Zach Britton is coming back the day he's eligible and closing that night. They do things differently than everybody else.
Here's where we're at with Faria. We had 149 and two-thirds in 2015. We have 151 in 2016. And this year he's at 78 and a third?
I think he's clear to go, and I like him a lot. And I know I'm sounding like a different person recommending these young pitchers, Barrios and Faria and others, but he's really good. Anyway,
that's an interesting game. I'm gonna have to get that on my watch list.
Robbie Ray is striking out 14 Phillies on Saturday.
He's losing the game.
He might. It's only five innings. I was gonna say he's striking every single out. I was gonna say yesterday's show that Scherzer. I even had it typed into my notes that Scherzer was gonna no hit. Yeah, yesterday. He didn't do it, so I would have been wrong. But man, it would have been interesting. Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN. It's the Pirates and the Cardinals. Chad Kuhl and Mike Leake. You own Leake already. Probably in most leagues. Cool. You can't really make much of a case for.
So disappointed by him this year.
Chad Kuhl?
Yeah.
I
thought we'd have a couple of useful outings.
Lance McCullers comes off the DL on Saturday at Seattle. I would use him.
I would too.
I would definitely use Brad Peacock on Sunday at Seattle. It's a lot of strikeouts.
I would too.
All right. There we go. See, we're in agreement. Everybody's happy.
See? Hugs. Hugs all around.
Hugs all around.
Except for that Kyle Monster. He's going to be wrong on that bet.
Let's talk hitters here. We haven't really delved into that too much as we're going really long on the first half of the show. Bad job by me. So, Tristan, you first. Name me two or three hitters that are available in leagues, not just, you know, Bryce Harper. Somebody who's available in a league that you think you're on the fence about. If he has a good weekend, then I'm in. If he has a bad weekend, then I'm out. Can if you name anybody like that?
Bad weekend, I'm in. If he's,
okay. And then Kyle, you're next.
Yes,
so
on the mark here. Okay, so,
Tough question, huh?
It is, yeah.
I mean, I would say Eduardo Escobar, it's kind of an interesting weekend for him because, like, if he keeps doing this, the more he keeps doing it, people are going to add him. Matt Davidson. I mean, he's homering almost every day at this point.
So my
what else do you need to see, people?
My actionable weekend series, because there's a difference between the guy you play who's going to have the big weekend and the ones that are actionable going forward. That series with the Angels going to Boston, which was a note in the forecaster from last week, the Red Sox are the best in the game at reining in the running game, and that's the way the Angels are playing. So the Cameron Maybins and the Eric Youngs, guys going against these three pitchers, Porcello, Price, Velasquez, they're all hittable. They can get on base. Do they still run? Do they run with effectiveness? If they can do that in this series, I think we got something.
I got something. Breaking news. The Athletics have designated Steven Vogt for assignment.
Wow.
I did not see that coming. He's not having a good year, but what are they doing? Is Josh Fegley? I'm trying to think who
the guy. Fegley has a 60-40 share over the past month.
All right, but to dump Vogt? Is that indicative of Oakland's mindset the next 6 weeks? Because that's going to affect fantasy if they just stop playing their veteran guys or just give up on them and cut them. I mean, I want to see as much as you do Franklin Barreto at short, you know, and I want to, you know, why is Jed Lowry still on the team? And why is Adam Rosales still playing over Chad Pinder? And a lot of this other stuff that could affect Chris Davis, the left fielder. And, you know, I mean, wow, that's a surprising thing. Sonny Gray's got to be gone. I mean, they got to move him.
It's a strange one because it shows confidence in Bruce Maxwell. I mean, I guess they're making that decision that he's better than Steven Vogt.
I guess so.
That's curious.
I have Vogt on a keeper team, and I needed like 400
at-bats. That's just not very good.
I'm not going to get that. Kyle, let me hear your hitters for the weekend that you're on the fence about.
Yeah, you just called him out, but I'm going Jed Lowry. I mean, you look at the White Sox pitchers that they're throwing out this weekend. I mean, you've got Pelfrey, Shields, and Holland. Not very scared about that. Lowry's got a 233 ISO in June. I'll take my chances there. Switch hitter. I'll roll the dice there. Like you said, maybe he has something to prove. I think the A's score some runs. I think he's a part of it.
All right. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there's a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats. I actually just used SeatGeek to buy tickets to a recent concert that I went to, and it was really, really cool. I don't want to say who. It might define who I am. But anyway, SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. It saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. And best of all, listeners to this fine show get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code FFB today. That's promo code FFB for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Isn't it amazing, like, when you see a transaction like the Steven Vogt one, and it doesn't really matter that much in most fantasy leagues. I mean, he wasn't close to a top 10 catcher, although he was 2 years ago.
He might be owned like one.
I'm going to check that. Like a league where, like, you have the player and you're like, man, I really needed that, you know? Like,
wow, really, really had been cut under 10%.
Yeah, he's not even on the most added or drop. He's not on the most drop list, so people had long ago given up, it looks like. Oh, no, he's at 9.3. He's a number 10 catcher.
Yeah, you know what? It's going to have the greatest impact on the AL-only teams. And keep him around until you know where
he could find a job tomorrow, Tristan. I mean, he could, you know, he could go to Cleveland and play half the time. I mean, I don't know where he's going to go. I'm trying to think off the top of my head.
I do think it's an American League team because he's not a top-shelf defensive catcher.
He reminds me of McCann. He's like a mini McCann because they didn't want to catch him all that much last year or this year. I don't know who gets him, but he's going to find work. Mm-hmm. Look, I talked to him in March. He wasn't real happy to talk to me. Because I said to him, like, what changed from 2 years ago when I think he was an all-star
to
last year?
If you asked him to do a Matt Foley impression, he might have engaged
He wasn't pleased with me. Let's put it that way.
You have to have him do impressions. He's
and like Oakland's people master. Were like, why are you asking him that? And I'm like, I'm a reporter. I can ask him whatever I want. That's reasonable. I thought it was reasonable. Like, what changed in your batting profile from 2015 to 2016? And he was like, nothing. I'm like, well, your numbers changed. He's like, no, they didn't. Well, I'm like, they did. And then I just gave up. But anyhow, what do we got?
All righty, we got some questions here. Andrew notices that Starling Marte is available in over 60% of ESPN leagues. He wants to know any reason we wouldn't expect Marte-level production when he returns in late July.
I can't think of any. And don't give me D. Gordon what happened to him. Not to say, not every player is going to come back after an 80-game suspension and be just average. Some will be better, some will be worse. I don't think... Do you think that what happened to D. Gordon is any thing to base Marte on? I don't.
No. I think there's the possibility that he has some sort of impact afterwards. I would imagine that it's going to be more a product of initial rust. So maybe the first couple of weeks aren't so good. But I don't think I can downgrade the skill set. The other thing, too, is if he's out there in that many leagues, we are getting pretty close to his return date at this stage. Let's see. What we got? We got 8 more days in June, and he's
well,
the 18th?
It's late July. It's, right?
It's July 18th.
It's less than a month.
I mean, you add him now.
Yeah.
You have to. How is he available in 60% of leagues? I mean,
I'm surprised it's even that many. And that's probably some dead teams. Most people don't want to wait 3 months for anybody.
That's three bench spots.
And you couldn't DL him, so it's not even like an injured player.
But the All-Star break eats a chunk of the remaining month. It's less than a month, and there's a chunk taken away by the All-Star break, 4 days.
That's 4 days.
That's a lot.
Long story short, you got to add him at this point.
I think he should be owned. I mean, but you're saying even in a 10-team shallow league, mixed, he must be owned?
I held on to him in a 10-teamer, but yeah, I think he should be owned.
I think at this point, if you've got the spot to burn, absolutely. Just scoop him up. It's a free guy for you. It's 22 actionable game days.
All right. Chris wants to add upside to the bottom end of his pitching staff. Jordan Montgomery or Sean Newcomb if you had to pick one the rest of the way?
Ooh, I like them both. Both lefties. But one's on a good team and one's on a bad team. So, and wins do matter. I have a hard time going with Newcomb there.
Yeah, I think Montgomery is more likely to consistently
He's more mature, too. Like, he's a more mature pitcher who I feel like can avoid, like, the bad outings easier.
Yeah.
And also, he's not walking people, and Newcomb will.
Would you take the guy who has the higher scouts raves but hasn't given you evidence in the major league level, or would you take the guy who tends to beat every expectation consistently in the majors and has, what is it, a 15-start sample? That's the question here.
I think the 15-start sample is one of the most important things to me right now. Montgomery has proven himself to be a capable big league pitcher. He's not a top 60 fantasy starter, but Newcomb has made only 3 starts, and you know, he's probably on an innings limit, whereas Montgomery's not, because one prized arm against one modest one. Scouts doesn't matter to me. I know Newcomb has more upside. Of course he does. But that doesn't mean he's going to reach it.
Right, right.
I'd rather have Montgomery for this year.
Yep, I'm with you.
All right, sweep that sub-3 ERA in June. I think Montgomery's far and away the better option the rest of this way. Andrew has a question about Jose Bautista. He continues to struggle, wants to know your confidence level on him versus Cargo. And wants to know if Travis Shaw slugging over 500 for a third consecutive month, is he better than either one of the big names?
I'm not giving up on Cargo. Too many Coors Field games, too much track record, had streaks. He's had streaks before. If you named five hitters right now who you say are streaky, wouldn't he be on that list for that year, that 2 years ago, what he did?
I suppose he would be.
I mean, like, I'm trying to think of others, but, like, and Bautista might be on the list, too. But
I think there's streakier players than Carlos Gonzalez, but I see your point to the Coors versus road games and that 2015.
I would rank them. I know it may seem silly because Shaw's having such a nice year, but I'm really close to having Shaw over Bautista, though. But Cargo's still number one for me.
I'd fall right in the same pattern here. I think it's going to be Cargo, Bautista, and Shaw, but you're right. Shaw's making a compelling case. I said before, the moving to leadoff doesn't change Bautista's value, but the value isn't especially good in the first place.
Well, the only reason it changes it, in theory, he would see more fastballs batting first. There's nobody on base for him in a general sense.
Well, that's the first trip through, though.
Should score more runs, but he's just not, you know, he's walking, but he's not hitting for a lot of power. He's not going to steal bases. I mean, just because Anthony Rizzo's been great as a leadoff man doesn't mean Bautista will, but I'm watching.
You know what's bothersome about Cargo, though, looking at it? Because remember the hard contact note I had earlier
in the
year?
There's a lot of troubling things there.
It's gotten worse in June.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm seeing that. And I feel like if Cargo doesn't turn this around in the next 6 weeks, I'll be wrong. But, you know, even last year, like, he's not just done. He's not Adrian Gonzalez. He didn't just suddenly stop being a good player. Last year, he had 25 home runs, and he batted .298. 2 years ago, he had 40. So people shouldn't be comparing him to Adrian Gonzalez. So they have the same last name. I'm buying on Cargo. I will still buy on him.
Building on that streak that you were talking about, he had 18 extra base hits in July 2015. He has 19 all year this year.
He's had a terrible year, and I can't sugarcoat it at all.
No, hopefully he catches up. I'm with you. Kind of trust the process situation with the NBA
trust
draft.
Trust the process. I am so excited that they – and, like, now I don't even need to watch. I know who they're taking, the 76ers. Don't call me any names, okay? This team has won, like, 40 games in 4 seasons, all right? I deserve this. Sixers fans deserve this. And that doesn't mean they're going to be great next year.
Well, let's go with that. The Sixers won 34.1% of games last year. The Phillies would need to get to 55 wins this year to reach that number. Do they get there?
Yeah, I think the Phillies will win 55 games.
All right.
Oh, and not by a lot.
No, that might be closer.
And, you know, people don't want to hear this, but, like, they're really not that much worse than the other bad teams. Like the Braves, the Padres, the White Sox.
Giants at this point.
Giants, they're really not. They're losing games in, like, hard to believe, like the loss last night with the balk and then throwing the ball. Like, the relief pitching is just, when you have a bad bullpen, it just magnifies everything.
Are you a little bit worried they don't have the pitching to get through the year too successfully? Last year their pitching held up better than this, I felt.
No, they had no starting pitching last year. They had to use Adam Morgan as a starter last year. Their pitching is really not any better. I'm not worried about anything. You know why? Because it doesn't matter. I don't care if they lose 105 games or 90 games. None of it matters. It's like they're just building and hoping these prospects, and, like, so few of these prospects are going to be stars. They're not going to be the Astros or the Cubs, unfortunately. But to me, it's just entertainment. And I can't get too mad even when they're losing games like last night. And whether they have the first pick or the seventh pick in the draft, it just doesn't matter. So I'd be more angry being a Giants or a Mets fan because I would have assumed I was going to contend. They have a shot to make the playoffs. Giants don't have a shot to make the playoffs. Mets kind of still do. But Giants, they don't. The Giants are out of it. That would bother me worse.
With the Mets. So he's saying there's a chance.
Yeah, I think there's a chance because you could see a scenario. What you need is either Washington, Colorado, or Arizona, basically one of the three teams, to have like a 10-win month, and the Mets just have a great month.
Right.
I don't see either of those happening.
That also discounts the Cubs or the Cardinals not having a big month.
I guess to some degree, but I mean, when you look at the percentages here for playoff-bound teams, I mean, the three NL West teams are like at 90% each
right.
or above.
Right.
I think Colorado and Arizona should plan now for the one-game playoff against each other. The only question is whether it's a Coors or in Phoenix.
That would be an interesting game. Who starts for the
And Rams? You know what? The Dodgers could muck that up. They really could. Yeah, they could end up in that game.
They certainly could. I mean, but in terms of if we're going to go outside of the National League West from those three teams, there are a lot of other dominoes that need to fall in the Mets' favor for them to get there.
There are dominoes. And you know what? The Cubs don't look like a 91 team to me. Nationals do, though.
The Cubs the Cubs need to set their sights on the National League Central. And, of course, now we're getting into just general baseball.
We're just wasting time. All right, what else?
Go for it.
ESPN Radio. Breaking news.
Or?
Uh-oh.
Who are the A's cut now?
Bigger than Boat?
Bigger. And this one's going to make Eric, I don't want to say happy, because you never take
pride
in somebody getting demoted here. But
Phillies? Who are they?
Kyle Schwarber.
No!
What?
Currently rocking AAA.
Oh!
Discuss.
Are you kidding?
Kyle, what did you do?
Why would I kid? I don't kid.
Kyle Schwarber got demoted to
AAA? He's not making it up.
Hey, no, I'm not happy about that. Why would I be happy?
I didn't think you'd be happy.
I like being right.
You're right. Yeah, okay.
But, I mean, I'm not. There's no way I'm going to gloat about this. This is a you know, an athlete, a professional guy. It's his career.
I give you permission to gloat. There's somebody on the show who was reasonably pro-Schwarber.
For all the people that tweeted me and, like, you know, like threats about Schwarber, okay, just shut up. All right? I'm not going to gloat on Twitter about it, but... And I didn't think he'd get demoted. And I didn't think he'd hit 171. All I said was, all along, I feel like we've been over this a million times.
He said he was overrated, and
he was really overrated, and he wasn't going to qualify a catcher, and both have proven to be true. He doesn't make enough contact.
It's very good news for Rizzo and Happ. I think that kind of solidifies those roles, first and second.
I mean, Rizzo, it doesn't mean anything to Rizzo. He's going to play anyway. Whether he bats first or third doesn't matter.
But I think it's going to much more like
Ian Happ's already into double-digit home runs.
Yeah.
Wow. But he'll be back in like 3 weeks.
You think?
Are you cutting? I know you don't own him anywhere, but do you cut him here?
Of course you do. Okay. Look, I don't know what people are looking at. I replied to somebody on Twitter about this a couple of weeks ago, and I said, I don't hate Schwarber at all. Don't be ridiculous. If you can't understand what I'm trying to say, pay more attention. Be more focused. What I'm saying is, yeah, he could hit 30 home runs this year, but he's not going to bat his weight because he doesn't make enough contact. That's the issue. He went a whole month without a single. I mean, I'm surprised they're doing this. I'm not happy about it.
I'm not cutting either. I have two shares of him. I'm not cutting him in either one.
In a 10-team mixed standard, you need to move on.
Yes.
You should have moved on a month ago.
Well, yes. We brought that
And it was
then.
Ridiculous that he was drafted in the 7th round when his value was in, like, round 15. Now his value is not even draftable.
No comment.
So, look, what do you do with him next season? You own him in a dynasty league, okay? And I think we could throw out the window any possibility of catching. Although, frankly, his bat would play a lot better at catcher. I mean, Mike Zunino can start 130 games behind the plate batting 171 if he hits for power. Schwarber can't do that in the outfield. Now they might actually have him catch more because if he's not going to hit 230, his bat will play better at behind the plate. But in a dynasty league, you don't give up on him. This is still a potential 30 home run guy.
I think in a redraft 2018 league, he actually might end up being... I mean, some things will have to happen, of course. But I think he might end up being a very nice value. People tend to go the entire opposite direction. We follow the pendulum, and it tends to
I agree. He's not this bad.
I'd love to see him end up in Cleveland. That'd be a good landing spot.
He's not ending up anywhere. But if he did, I'm saying.
If they did trade him, I'd love to see him end up in a situation like that where there is an opening, or at least a share of an opening at catcher.
I gotta tell you, I don't...
In the outfield. Good lefty park.
I don't think his problem is at the plate or because of anything in the field.
No, I don't either.
You know. Wow. Steven Vogt and Kyle Schwarber. One of them was supposed to be a top 10 catcher. The other was in drafts last year. Both cut on the same... Well, one was demoted and one's getting released. But that's... Still, wow.
Removed
a lot of news for a Thursday morning.
Yeah. We love it.
The longest show ever. All right, that's good breaking news. Good use of the sounder there.
Thank you.
All right, anything else?
Yeah, we got one last question. Joe wants to know who gets more steals the rest of the way, considering how hard they are to find. Dyson DeShields or Malik Smith?
Malik's. Because even when Kiermaier comes back, and that's not for another, like, 6 weeks, people, Malik's is staying in that leadoff spot as long as he hits. He'll just move to left field.
Man, you said that with, like, Kyle Schwarber's no good kind of confidence.
Don't start something that's not there. I don't hate that guy. I hate when a theme pops up and everybody buys into it because whether, you know, and I think he's going to be a better player than this, but you saw him in the World Series. It was a miraculous comeback. Seems like a nice fellow. The value just didn't match. I would say Malik Smith, though. I mean, he's stealing 30 bases this year, although he hasn't been running all that much in the last couple of weeks, but the music stopped. It sounds so boring.
You don't love Dyson, huh? You don't love Dyson more than him.
No. There's a couple reasons. One, he bats at the bottom of the lineup. Okay. Mm-hmm. He can't hit. He's not a good hitter. Like, to me, Malik Smith is a better hitter than Gerard Dyson. I mean, I think we know what Dyson is. Now, Dyson could steal 30 bases, too. Not the rest of the year, but end up at 30. I mean, he's at 17. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I guess in pure steals, I guess it's close, but I'd rather have Malik Smith. And DeShields are ranked third there. You agree with that?
I'm actually going to put Dyson at the top, but your points are quite valid. It's awfully close. I knew that Smith was going to get at least as many, let's say, plate appearances, then it's going to be.
If there's anything that anybody takes from this show is that I don't think any of the three of us hate any players, okay? We're just trying to talk about value.
We love every player.
Wow, that's hard to believe. Isn't that hard to believe that that just happened? Is that really like, I didn't get a, I got an alert on Stephen Vogt, but not on Kyle Schwarber? That's really strange.
Really? Well, it's coming. It's coming. I'm waiting for it. Oh, wait, you must own one and not the other. I wonder which one you don't own.
Oh, yeah, you know.
Yes, aha, I figured it out.
Okay. Whatever. Vogt was an all-star last year, too. Tells you that it means nothing.
He did cool in the second half. That explains a little of the final.
By the way, I bet Schwarber's back in like 2 or 3 weeks. I wouldn't read a whole lot into this.
So then you think he's going to have relevance in 10-team leagues after that? Yeah.
No, I don't think he has relevance now. No. Can you? We talked about it on yesterday's show. Can you own a player who hits 25 home runs and bats .210? No. You can't.
Schwarber,
I'd rather own Matt Davidson.
Schwarber or Marte, who hits a single first?
Who hits a single first?
Schwarber's up before Marte. Schwarber's back in the majors before Marte is. But
not expected to be gone long, huh?
Okay. We're watching the same thing. I would say he's back on the DL. You know, this DL.
Who's back in the DL?
Cervelli. Again.
Yeah,
this is a catcher
DL.
Show.
That's not the 10-day DL. That's the catcher one. That's the concussion one twice.
Matt Chapman's going in the DL, too.
Yep. They're bringing up, who's the other kid? Olsen. They're bringing up Matt Olsen.
Can he play third?
Freddie Freeman can.
Matt Adams is not going away. He's going to hit 25 home runs.
Kyle missed that. We didn't hear his take on Freddie Freeman. Everyone loves Freddie, right?
Come on. We all know.
Gotta love Freddie. And moving to the hot corner, it can't hurt,
That's
right?
going to happen. That's going to happen. All right.
Gotta love it.
We're done for the week. Oh, that was awfully abrupt.
We just jumped off the elevator.
End that music.
The elevator, we just hit the penthouse. So anything else you'd like to add, Tristan, before we head into the
weekend?
Picturing
the elevator, the glass elevator shattering through the ceiling in Willy Wonka now.
Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah, I was terrified of that when I was a kid. I'm like, oh, God, the elevator's going to go through the ceiling.
I love that movie.
That was great.
Kyle's never seen it. Kyle's never heard it.
Oh, Kyle, please tell
me. Have you seen the new Willy Wonka? Or that's probably like 10 years old by now. The one with Johnny Depp? Kyle left.
I'm just gonna see myself out here.
Kyle,
clue what you're talking about.
Kyle,
I've heard of it, but I haven't seen the movie.
He's recovering from our elevator fall.
Officially done. Lots of people to thank for making the Fantasy Focus baseball work well this week. Not only Kyle the Monster, Kyle Soppy, happy birthday to your girlfriend, but also the multiple producers we had. Mike Robbie, of course, Josh Macri. I don't know where Daniel Dopp is. The multiple co-hosts we had: AJ Mass and Tristan H. Cockcroft. I'm Eric. I'm always here, but not for a while now. That's it. I'm done. Goodbye. Have an awesome weekend, and the show returns on Monday. Everything is
awesome. Darkness.